Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City, online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
What the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
HD, welcoming you to the middle of the week. Meet me in the middle of the week. Let me hear you say everything's okay. Yeah, we got that going for us, which is nice. It's
Tannenism
Wednesday. There is no Oregon men's basketball until Saturday. The women play at 6 o'clock Friday here in town, the Arizona schools. We'll be in Eugene for a little visit at the, let's call it the upper end of the conference. As for the men, I just realized I don't think I even checked the rankings. Where'd they go from 11 to 14 after losing to Stanford? Yeah, they play 7:30 Saturday, and then they're back home. We'll talk with Steve Mims of the Register Guard at the bottom of the hour. For all of the inconsistencies and a few ups, mostly ups and a few downs, the Oregon men are in excellent shape. First of all, this conference, like a lot of others, there's no 2009 North Carolina. There's no 2012 Kentucky. There's no overwhelming, that's the standard setter. There's no all those years in the women's game where it's like, so UConn, right? There probably are more teams who you could convince yourself can A, make a Final Four and win their region however it spills out, and then win the whole kit and caboodle. And I know the women are going to rap in New Orleans, but New Orleans, I just made it singular. Actually, isn't that what it is? How many New Orleans are there? I've only heard of the one New Orleans.
Well, to have a new something like a New York, there's got to be an Old York. So I'd imagine there's an Old Orleans.
Sometimes it's in, what do you call it, in across the pond. There's no Old York in America.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's the Old York in England, which I think now I'm only going to... I don't know when I'm ever going to go to or talk about York in England, but I'm going to refer to it as Old York. So for there to be a New Orleans, there's got to be an Old Orleans somewhere, I would imagine, in France.
There was a band in the mid-70s called Orleans. They weren't very good. They were a one-hit wonder. They did a song called Still the One. Atlanta, by the way.
I found it. It's Orleans is a city on the banks of the Loire River in north central France. It is the capital of the...
Spell that river?
L-O-I-R-E. Lawyer? Liar?
Loire?
Loire? It's on the banks of the Loire River in north central France, and it's the capital of the Centre Val de Loire region. So there you go. So there is an Orleans, a commune in France, that they named New Orleans after. So congratulations today. You learned about Old Orleans.
By the way, now, of course, being from New Jersey, naturally.
Yeah, where's Old Jersey?
Jersey is known as the Bailiwick. Is a British crown dependency located near the coast of Normandy, second closest of the Channel Islands. So Am I like a descendant of that because I was born in New Jersey?
I don't think that's how family heritages work. No.
I want it to be like that. Please tell me, because if you've met some of my family, it couldn't be any worse.
Also, that's the most unoriginal way to name things, like hundreds of years ago. Well, we got here. What do you guys want to call this place?
Plymouth Rock.
It kind of reminds me of Jersey a little bit. You think? All right, this is
New Jersey.
It's the new one. This is the new place.
And you know, now that as ridiculous as this sound, it is all making a lot of sense because there's absolutely a Hampshire, England. So a New Hampshire,
right? I can't think. All of the other new cities, I feel like, are in the East Coast. In that,
yeah, New York, New Jersey, New Hampshire.
There's somebody actually an old England.
Hello, Newman. That's a good text. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to pounce upon the occasion. You could also hit us up on the text line, 321-0824 on Twitter. It's at 953, at SportsTalk 95. I almost made up my own. I haven't done that yet. I've got them wrong. At SportsTalk 953. Oh, my God, at 953, the score for the station. At SportsTalk 953 for me, for Nick. It's at Rick Nodgers. I think you're the only one I never get wrong because it's just perfectly dyslexic.
It's the simplest one, yeah.
Yeah. All right, 284-8571 to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Bring in Jersey Jack. How you doing, Jack?
So it looks like Dodgers-Yankees next October.
It's that simple, right, here in February?
Well, obviously not, you know, but it appears on paper they're the two best teams. But that doesn't mean anything, as you well know.
No, but there's a lot of reason to be optimistic if you're both teams. Although, like I said, for the Dodgers, you got Kershaw and Walker Buehler with Ryu gone. They're kind of, they lost Rich Hill. They brought in Alex Wood. Their front end of the rotation, 1-2, looks great. Everything else looks like I'm going to have to get back to you.
Well, you know, they also brought the lefty from Boston, who is an X factor. He could be great or he could be crappy.
That, thus the whole X factor thing.
But that's true of just about any pitcher. But, you know, he's got a track record of being pretty good.
Yeah, and by the way, for Mariner fans are like, duh, but of course the announcement came down today that James Paxton's going to be out at least 3 months, which, you know.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what he does. He's pitched, I don't think he's ever made 30 starts. He made 28 the last time for Seattle, 28 for the Yankees last year. And he's just, he's injury prone. He's got to have a surgical procedure on his back, and he's going to be out 3 to 4 months.
And that's, why they just figured this out, or something that's been lingering?
Yeah, I have no idea. Oh, what happened was last month he had back pain, and they were trying to avoid surgery, so they gave him injections. The pain persisted, and that's that. We'll see you around the All-Star break.
So, right, so that June at the earliest, and then, you know, and then he'll do rehab, and then he'll hurt himself again, and he'll be out until September. This is like last year.
Yeah, well, that's the miracle from last year, is that they had as many guys on the DL all year long and still cranked out that kind of record and, you know, ended up losing for who knows why via the Houston Cheaters.
Right. Well, last year, you're right, Houston, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was 17 and then Boston in 18, right?
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
But we haven't heard anything on Washington, as far as we know. That seems clean.
I gave it a sniff earlier. It smelled okay. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Oh, my God.
Take it easy. So, like I think it was Olney said, so the Yankee rotation, of course, Cheater Jones, another cheater, by the way, Domingo Germán, He's got to serve the final 63 games of his half-year suspension, which I wish they would just cut the scumbag because it was in violation of baseball's domestic violence policy. There's one thing I would love to see change, just a one-time and you're out. And then, of course, they've got Severino and I guess the $324 million man, Gerrit Cole, that does provide some optimism. Then you got Tanaka, who's also injury-prone Jones, J.A. Happ. And, you know, what about Jordan Montgomery, who might be in the mix, who he came back late last year from Tommy John surgery. Just the walking wounded. All right, so what was the name of the recruit Oregon got today? Jalen Jones, a former Alabama commit. Well, it was weird today because when the Ducks are having a press conference, we like to record it because something interesting or intriguing happens, like a first-time conversation with the media for the new offensive coordinator, Joe Moorhead. We played part one of that conversation around 3:30. We're going to play part two just past the 5 o'clock hour. And so when Coach Cristobal took the podium today, he was like, none. We have nobody to add. Our LOI guys from December, yeah, that's what we're going with. But actually, that's not what he said. He was like, we're still working on some guys. So they got this monster from Calera, Alabama, who visited Baylor and Oregon last month. I think he was a previous commit to Bama. And he's 6'7", 335, and he's a Duck. So when you think about prior to last year, this was a day that we would stop. We would be out there. There would be interviews. We took our radio equipment out there. We're talking to coaches and players and interviews. And today it's like, well, I hear they got a guy.
It's Jason Jones.
What did I say, Jalen?
You said Jalen.
Why?
Jones. Yeah, I don't want to know why, but that's a problem within you that I don't think we need to explore necessarily at this moment.
284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. This is pretty funny. We were talking about the New Jersey and Old Jersey and New York and Old York. So for Jersey, somebody goes, text in. So the town in England where dudes are walking around in two small t-shirts with fake tans and too much Axe body spray. And that's Old Jersey. Yeah. Do they have a show there called Old Jersey Shore?
No, actually, the Jersey Shore was just called Jersey Shore, so it didn't specify Old or New Jersey. So technically, if they were to make a new Jersey Shore in Old Jersey, they'd have to call it the New Old Jersey Shore. If you follow me there.
I kind of did.
I think you did. I know everybody else did.
Yeah. The Houston Trash Pandas? I don't know what that means. That's a random text.
Trash pandas are raccoons which live in trash cans, which is how the Astros did all of their sign stealing.
All right. Now I see what you have done. You are a wise man. Wise. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So on GoDucks.com, they posted the late season watch lists for all of the National Player of the Year awards. And okay. Ruthie Hebert, Satu Sabali, and Sabrina Ionescu are on like all of them. The wooden list. And it's just... you know, it's not impossible if Sabali decides to go pro that Oregon gets three of the top six picks in the WNBA. And I don't know what that means as far as how many times, let's say in the NBA draft or WNBA draft, you've had half the top five, six from one school. Well, first of all, you'd imagine that was a really good team that they had. I'm just trying to think. Why am I Never mind. Why don't we get to a phone call and I'll figure this out, because the NTB Club, the Not Terribly Bright Club, has not taken up residence in my head. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Steven. Steven, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good evening, Steve Dannon. 75 degrees in Cape Coral, Florida. What is your gut telling about Oregon Ducks beating the Beavers this week? And what do you think about the Warriors beating the Nets tonight?
That's a good one. Oregon winning at Oregon State. Well, remember, they got swept last year. Oregon State has had a very disappointing season on the hardwood. But they've got a couple of quality wins, so it's a danger. It's a rivalry game. And as for the Nets and Warriors, aside from Nets and Warriors fans, I think Stephen might be the only one really concerned about that game. Would you say that's a safe wager?
I think so.
Yeah, you know, once upon a time, it would have been like, oh, come on. Golden State's going to kill him. You can't say that. 5 years ago, Karl-Anthony Towns, Willie Cauley-Stein, Trey Lyles, Devin Booker were five of the top 13 picks from Kentucky. That's impressive. Well, one thing Calipari always says, you know, when he defends how he handles the one-and-done rule, it's like, if your great players come here, they're going to get picked really high. Wiggins and Embiid, two of the top three in 2014. It's still not who I'm thinking of, and it's driving me crazy. Felix, you're driving me crazy. It was like two of the top. Oh, there it was. Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist went 1-2, which I do not think happens all that often at the in the association. When did they stop allowing high school players? You know, we went through the 90s when it was very commonplace, and obviously up through and including LeBron, who was one in the 2003 draft, because that was the year of they call Lamy Carmelo. We've always had younger guys who came from overseas, like Ricky Rubio, Victor Claver, who went to Portland. I think that's going back more than 10 years ago. UCLA had that 1 year where Westbrook and Love went 4-5. That's after they made their Final Four run. That's in 2008. I won't mention the 2007 draft because I like a lot of you and you have to be happen to be Blazer fans.
According to the internet, the new terms of agreement ended the practice of drafting high school players starting in the 2006 draft. After that, they have to wait a year to be eligible. However, they are not required to spend that year in college.
All right. Interesting trivia question. Who was the highest pick directly out of high school in the last draft that allowed high school players? Hint, he went fifth. After him, you had guys like Andrew Bynum. Again, hate to bring up some bad news from history, Blazer fans, but it was Martell Webster who went fifth overall, following Andrew Bogut, Marvin Williams out of Carolina, Darren Williams out of the Illini, who had taken them to the national championship game, CP3 out of Wake Forest, and then another favorite Blazer, Raymond Felton out of North Carolina.
Felton, you're bad.
What's that from?
Oh, that's like a tick that I have when I hear Raymond Felton. It's every time when I was in the dorms my freshman year, like the NBA was like coming out of a lockout or the Blazers were just starting and everybody was really excited about it, and all I would hear from my friend's dorm room a couple doors away, they would watch the game with their door open and then just yell. And every time Raymond Felton did something wrong, I would just hear, "Felton, you're back," and I have a tick now when I hear his voice that I have to yell that. Same with Illinois and ILL.
By the way, at Oregon Quaction, tweets at us since you were talking about the WNBA draft. How about this? 1, 2, 3. Breanna Stewart, Mariah Jefferson, Morgan Tuck. 2016 WNBA draft. 1, 2, 3, all out of UConn. By the way, there's a stunner that it ended up being a triumvirate of Oriemas. But by the way, way to be on top of that and way to get that to us. And real fast, by the way. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you'd like to participate. I do want to remind you as you head oot and a boot to, you know, take in. Nah, that's after.
Well, we got. No. I should have had this conversation.
Yeah, probably not the time for it. Anyway, Tap and Growler, 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene, across the street from the 5th Street Public Market, has the biggest tap list in town, 81 strong. And one of the things they do that's awesome is they've got the ever-evolving kitchen that pairs what you're eating with what you're drinking. If you hit the wit and you get to Beer Garden, which has one of the best outside hangs around. And they got the coffee place outside, of course, part of the great Whitaker neighborhood. Great selection of cold ones inside and wine. And outside, they've got the awesome food trucks. And then if you hit A Street in Springfield Public House, which I love when people say, hey, I went there for the first time. You were right. That is like one of the coolest spaces in our area. It's very distinct. It's also a great place to hang. Kids are welcome. They've got music. They've also got good food. And the respective websites are tapandgrowler.com, beergardenme.com, publichousehub.com. And we appreciate their longtime support and all the fun and unique entertainment and ways to just, you know, enjoy your time in town that they provide. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll have a Coors Light update, and then we'll talk some Duck baseball and basketball with Steve Mims of the Register Guard. Next, 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
It came down to the Dodgers being willing to take back David Price's salary. Like you said, $96 million over 3 years. The Red Sox are going to pay more than half of that to give it back to the Los Angeles Dodgers. They slide David Price into the rotation. But really, this is a deal for Mookie Betts. And this is a deal that makes the Dodgers the favorites in the National League.
Yeah, that's Jeff Passan of ESPN talking about the deal that sent Mookie Betts to L.A. from Boston. And whenever I hear that where one team is going to pick up a chunk of the salary, I go Moneyball, where Billy Beane is talking to David Justice, who's now an Oakland A. And Justice's attitude is like, hey, man, you're paying me $7 million. Woo! No, man. The Yankees are paying most of your salary. They're paying so you could not play for their team.
I finally watched Moneyball.
When?
I finally watched it. A couple months ago. I think I saw that,
yeah,
it was on.
Well, I thought you said recently you didn't.
It was a really weird thing where we can't really jump into it because I got to call Steve Mims. But like, I saw it was on before the start of a Sunday night football game, and so I recorded it, and I ended up watching like the first 10 minutes, and then I picked it up a couple weeks later, like a month or two ago, and I finally watched it. It was a good movie.
I told you, I wouldn't steer you wrong, especially a baseball movie. I got to live with myself. All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline if you want to jump on in. You could always text us, 3210824. Actually, it would be silly to call now because we're going to have a guest any moment now, unless it would be possible to have two people on at once. Well, I don't know if I want to try it. Although maybe we could try like a round table one day, like a slow time during the summer. But either way, we're locking down the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Talk some men's hoops, a little baseball, Season begins a week from Friday. Yikes. Basketball team prepping for Saturday's Civil War. Follow him on Twitter at SteveMims_RG. You can also grab the Guard Sports section online, registerguard.com or ducksports.com. There are many ways. Steve Mims, how's life treating you these days?
I'm good, Steve. Thanks for promoting our many, many venues of trying to get the information out.
Right. So baseball, no new one coach since the return in George Horton, 11 seasons. And Mark Wasikowski is now back, spent 5 years here. Purdue the last three as head coach. Horton had his own style. Obviously, you covered Wasikowski as an assistant. I don't know, any similarities between he and Horton, or does something about him kind of stand out as different?
I think he'll, you know, I think there'll be some similarities, certainly, but he's talked about, you know, he's had Andy Lopez at Arizona, who's another Hall of Fame type coach that he's worked for, and some of the guys he worked for in Southern California, so he talks about being kind of a meld of everything. I think he's really in on the recruiting trail. You know, I think that's one thing where he's kind of talked about the importance of that, and he's got assistants with out there, and kind of went out there right away on that. So I think that's kind of, I think this is, you know, people say is it a reload? I think this is a rebuild. I think this is going to take a little while. I think this is sort of a he kind of gets his people in. There's some talent. It's probably a team that when the preseason, I think the preseason Pac-12 coaches poll will come out tomorrow. I'm guessing Oregon's probably 7th, 8th, 9th in that area. I don't think there'll be a ton of expectations this year, but I think he's looking at this as a, hey, let's start getting our guys in here and build this thing from the ground up.
So accurate to say, and you wrote about it last week, I mean, fans will recognize Kenyon Jovan, Matthews, maybe Robert Alstrom, a few others, but if this team is going to have success, safe to say that the new faces are going to have to come across with the goods.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's probably going to be two new starting outfielders, new third baseman, new shortstop, new catcher, and the rotation, you know, could be the same as last year, but I think they'd probably like somebody to emerge differently, you know, I mean, with Alstrom and Kafka, and then if you can add Jovan in there, I think they'd like somebody else. The bullpen could be the same, but yeah, no, certainly with the bats especially, I think you're going to be looking at the lineup of 1 through 9, there's probably going to be three guys who, if you're a casual Oregon fan, you've heard of going in from last season.
Let's get to the hardwood, because like I said, we're just getting started with baseball, the Ducks and Beavs. You wrote about Oregon State. You know, in the preseason, I thought with Tinkle, an elite rim protector like Kyler Kelly, Ethan Thompson, some depth, some new faces, and while they've posted a couple of nice wins, accurate to say, Steve, this has been a really disappointing season for OSU.
Yeah, it's been weird. You know, they went 10-2 in the non-conference, and they beat Iowa State, which was good, but their two losses were to Oklahoma, which is in Portland, and Oklahoma's not a, you know, a top 25 team. That would have been one you'd like to get if you're an experienced team, and then they lost at A&M, which, again, not a great A&M team, so it was sort of like they'd come into the Pac-12 with a decent record, but haven't proven a lot, and then in the Pac-12 this year, when there's not a lot of great teams, if you beat Arizona and Colorado in the first half of the conference season, you probably think, all right, we're 6-3, 7-2 coming through the first half of the season. But they've literally lost it. You know, they're one of the, you know, if you look at the bottom seven teams in the Pac-12, it's Oregon State and six teams they've lost to. It's just a bizarre schedule. Like I said, I mean, this, yeah, I mean, there's, I think you look back on this schedule, they got to feel like there was an opportunity for this to be a lot better without having to do anything amazing. I mean, they've beaten the two best teams they've played this year. And yet they've got 9 losses to teams that aren't great. So it's been a weird season. But it's not a real deep team. You mentioned, I mean, everybody knows Tinkle, Thompson, and Kelly, and even like a Zach Reichel and Albert Holland. There's just not a lot of depth on that team, and I think that's the thing that's kind of hurt them so far, is there's just not a, you know, what if they're not getting it from their two main scorers with Thompson and Tinkle, they're not getting a whole lot off the bench.
Talking with Steve Mims of the Register Guard, I wanted to get to a former Duck. I loved your take on Dylan Brooks, who's never been that shy about sharing his thoughts. I mean, the Grizzlies have Andre Iguodala on their roster, who basically is looking for a way out. And Brooks caught some heat for saying, well, get him out if he doesn't want to be here. But you covered him closely his three seasons here, which were great. So I like the fact you're from the camp of, yeah, you tell him, DB.
Yeah, Brooks is great. And if you know Dane Altman doesn't love, you know, outspoken personalities. He likes guys who kind of toe the company line. And it was always funny with Dylan Brooks. There were some times they wouldn't bring him out after a game because they knew that Dylan was probably going to, you know, say something a little bit. And I remember a game at Utah when he came out and, you know, talked about, hey, I love the fans of Utah. They love to boo me and blah, blah, blah. And he was a great character and one of the few that, you know, has kind of come through Oregon in that sense. And, yeah, I mean, I just don't understand how they traded for him. And I get that he doesn't want to play there, but it seems like if you're the Grizzlies, you tell him, that's fine, you don't play here, but we're not going to pay you either. It's just bizarre to me that they came up with a plan where it's like, well, we're not going to ask you to play here, but we're going to pay you. And it's almost like Brooks came out and said, you know, yeah, I mean, if you're getting paid and you don't want to be here, and I realize that you thought that we were going to be terrible this year, but we're an 8 seed right now. We're in the playoffs. If you'd have been with us from the start of the year, we might be a 6 or a 5. And so, yeah, we want to get rid of you and show you what we got. So, and I thought it was great that John Morant, you know, came out and kind of, you know, made a reaction to Dylan on Twitter. And it's cool to see that Brooks is kind of continuing what he's always done, which is, this isn't a Baker Mayfield outlandish guy who makes, he's always come out and said things that he could back up, and I think that's another one that he can.
Well, I want that job where I do nothing and get paid, but that's probably a long line.
call the Grizzlies. They seem to have $12 million to give people to do nothing as long as you ask him to trade you.
All right, during the break. As for this Duck team, you know, they've altered, they've, I guess, exercised some of the Maples Pavilion demons under Altman, but it struck again, and they couldn't throw it in the ocean the other night. But you wrote something I thought was poignant. I mean, they missed shots, but how much was settling, and how much, Steve, is it that they're getting such inconsistent offensive production from the frontliners?
Yeah, and it's wrong because they're getting a lot of points in the paint, but they're coming from the guards. It's just Richard drives and Richardson drives, and, you know, Duarte gets some dunks in the set. It's crazy. You look at their points in the paint, and it's not worse than any other team in the conference, but then you look at and realize that their top four scorers are all guards, which is totally bizarre, but it's because their guards get in the paint. But, you know, I mean, Okoro is just, it is bizarre. I don't know what's gone on there. I mean, it feels like he's just lost a lot of confidence, and the foul troubles have really kind of taken away any aggressiveness he's had. And then you had him, Dante, being out the last 2 weeks and has never, you know, arrived late, so he's never been able to get into it. So it's kind of juiced as the one guy who kind of feels comfortable in there because the other two guys are freshmen. So that's the thing about this team is you wonder about, you know, the perimeter looks great, but at some point or another, they're going to need some insight. And Altman's been very clear that, yeah, there's still no rotations on the inside. And, I mean, you're heading into February now, and you still have no idea what you're getting from the inside guys, both in terms of health and performance. So it's, I think it's a fine line they're teetering right there because, you know, you want to have those kind of things settled by now. And they've got a nice record, and they're leading the Pac-12, and they're ranked high, but this almost feels like a deal where they better figure this out soon, or they may have some issues, although schedule works for them well. You know, 6 of the final 8 are at home. They might be able to work their way to a Pac-12 title without ever kind of setting a rotation in the middle, but I don't think they get out of the first week in the NCAA tournament without that.
Yeah, and by the way, you mentioned that I think the only time they leave the state is for the Arizona schools, but the last thought I wanted to get to kind of ties into what we just discussed. With Nafali Dante, I mean, first he had to get eligible, then he was. Then it was like, wow, this guy looks like he's got some brilliance. And then he got hurt at Washington. He's missed the last 4 games. So what are they saying? What's his status? And how important you think it is for him to heal up and be a regular in there?
It seems important, you know, but again, we're into February and the guy's averaging 6 points and 2 rebounds a game right now. So, I mean, it's hard to imagine that even if he gets healthy, you know, and the way that Altman goes, he's not just going to throw the guy in there for 30 minutes. It's going to be something you earn, and it just feels like at this point, it's hard to imagine him getting into a role where there's more than 25 minutes to more than 10-7 type guy, but they certainly need kind of what he can do as a rim protector. And obviously, if you look at him, I mean, the guy's legit 6'11", 250, which is obviously something not many people have in college basketball. So I think they'd like to bump him up and get him up to speed. But, you know, last week, going into last weekend, Dane Altman said on the Tuesday before that we hope he practices and ready to go, and then, you know, he doesn't play either game. So now it's just a curiosity as to just how the tendonitis is going, how much they can count on him. But it's getting late in the game in a Dane Altman team to kind of feel like all of a sudden some guys become an impact player.
No, it's going to be very curious to see how he plays out, because he could be a difference maker. Folks, he's Steve Mims. He'll be in Corvallis if they allow him to cover the Civil War once again. On Twitter, at SteveMims_RG. Sports section online, registerguard.com, ducksports.com. Steve, always a pleasure, man. Appreciate your time. We'll talk soon.
Is there a question as to whether or not I'm allowed in Corvallis? Do I need to look for some sort of is there a warrant out or something when I'm allowed?
I just, you know, I never know where they're going to send you and when, so I figured this was something we could count on.
It's more of like an ankle bracelet type deal than I got what you're saying.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Hey, appreciate it, Steve. Thanks, man.
Take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Well, you know, the newspaper industry is struggling now. It's like 45, do they want to pay his gas? Or is there, you know, do they validate parking? One never knows around here. All right. By the way, as you all well know, you regulars, that Wednesday is kind of a fun time around here where we get to express our love for doggies. So let's get right to it. Our Green Hill Humane Society Pet of the Week coming at you on 95.3 The Score. All right, folks, in between Tuesday and Thursday is Wednesday, and around these parts, it means yay day. And, of course, Sarah from Green Hill is back. How you doing, Sarah?
Doing pretty well.
Well, I think we might have a record set here for the youngest baby we've had brought in. We've got ourselves an actual puppy dog in the house.
We do. He might not look like it because he's still 50 pounds. But he, well, who we got today is Luden. That's L-U-D-E-N. He is a hound mix of some kind. He weighs about 50 pounds already, 7 months old, so he's still young. He's got a lot of room to grow. He's probably going to get a little bit bulkier, I assume. And he is a high energy pup. He likes to run, he likes to play, he likes to just flop over on you and put all of his entire weight on you randomly, even while you're driving. That happened today.
Nice.
So that was fun. Interesting drive. Since he's so young, he still needs a bit of training. And so with that, he has the room for a lot of capabilities of going home with pretty much any potential house.
Sure, could still mold him.
Yes, exactly. You can still form him into the beautiful, wonderful dog that he is meant to be.
By the way, real quick, this is one of the most interesting coloring
yes.
I've ever seen on a doggy. How would you describe it?
So it's called brindle. Brindle is the type of color that he is. He's kind of like a caramel brown with the black kind of marbling all over. And he's really pretty, really gorgeous, really handsome dog.
Yeah, he's, I have a feeling somebody's going to walk in and be like, sold.
He is, yes. So yeah, he can pretty much go home with other dogs. He hasn't had much history. He was a stray, so we don't know his background much. He has done well with other dogs. All right, so he can go with pretty much any dog. He doesn't have much history, so we still want you to bring in the other dogs with him to and have them meet at the shelter first to make sure that they go together. And then cats, he's high energy, so as long as he is like a dog savvy cat, they should be just fine. And then little ones, again, high energy, can knock over the little kids, so probably 8 and older, that can respect his space and kind of deal with,
or unless you're a family that has gone through it with a little one,
yes,
and you know in the high chair where to secure the doggy. So a lot of options.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and as always, for folks who are intrigued and thinking of giving not only a great doggy like this, but a pet their forever home, what's the Green Hill process?
Really simple. All you have to do is come on down to Green Hill, and we're open 7 days a week over in West Eugene, and we're open 11 to 6 every day, and you just fill out a page of paperwork and then meet the dog, and hopefully everything goes well good.
All right. Always fun, Sarah. Maybe a little more so today.
Yes.
Learn more online visiting green-hill.org. On Twitter, it's at Green Hill Humane. Adopt, give a pet their forever home. Best choice you'll make. Back with more, 95.3 The Score.
KUJZ is 95.3 The Score. Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
Robert Covington from Minnesota to Houston. That's the big wing player they wanted. Atlanta gets the center. Clint Capella, they've been on the market for. And then Denver moves out Malik Beasley and Hernan Gomez. They go to Minnesota in this deal.
Okay.
Minnesota gets Atlanta's first-round pick via the Brooklyn Nets. So they'll have now another first-round pick coming in this draft.
Yeah, whatever. Adrian Wojnarowski. I think by volume, they're calling it the biggest NBA trade in 19 years. But there's like 1.5 players you even care about. And one of them's hurt. And Capella, who just underwent thumb surgery. And the Nets are involved, which diminishes its value by 26%. Welcome back to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. Appreciate the time of our pal Steve Mims of the Register Guard. By the way, thanks to Tim and the good folk, locally owned Papa John's, hooked us up with lunch again today. And they came with these new flatbread-style sandwiches. Yeah, they didn't last long. Our people were on the attack. But made from original fresh dough, filled with real meat, wedgies, and cheese for just $6. Perfect lunch. Great alternative to a regular sando. And these Papa John's Papadilla. Not just any flatbread sandwiches. It's a hot, beautifully balanced meal that's everything you love about a hot flatbread style, but taken to the next level. Generous portions of all your favorite Papa John's ingredients. You got four to choose from, locally owned, and appreciate the longtime support of our programming here at KJZ by Tim and the good folks at Papa John's. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. A little something different I caught on USA Today. Which is strange because I really like USA Today, but since George Schroeder left the sports industry and he's not our regular Wednesday guest, it's like I kind of forgot to check it out. I mean, this is the deal. It has to do with paycheck games, but not the way you usually think about them. I think the average college fan would think, oh, a payday game is when, you know, a directional school goes to a Power 5 conference and, you know, basically is paid to get their ass kicked. Although, in recent years, that hasn't worked out so well. So, for example, New Mexico State went to Alabama and got paid $1.7 million. Arkansas State, $1.8 million. Played at Georgia. So Notre Dame has a guest coming to town in 2022, and they're going to pay them $1.9 million. You know who it is? Cal, a Power 5 program, the kind that usually is on the other end, or as the article said, has the wherewithal to say thanks to no thanks, to avoid going to a Power 5 home stadium. But if you've been following the story in recent years, the Bears have some major financial problems. They've got a relatively new athletic director and a campus chancellor, and they're both trying to juggle, it's UC Berkeley. They're pretty big. They got 30 varsity teams. You know, that's expensive real estate. And now, it won't be the first time a Power 5 school has made such a deal. It won't even be the first. I mean, not last year. When did the Beavs go to the Horseshoe? The year before last. They gave up like 1,000 points. They got 1.7. But, you know, as they said, you know, hundreds of non-conference football games involve payments each year that dole out over $150 million. But Power 5 schools rarely play one-off games against the peer unless it's at a neutral site. And I'll tell you what, I didn't realize, and I don't understand the numbers. It's not my job. Plus, it's also, as much as I love stats and stuff like that, when it comes to figuring out the budget of an athletic... Oh, sorry, I fell asleep just thinking about it. So Cal has had to tap into their general fund over the past 5 years to the tune of $110 million. And they're still $200 million in debt. Stadium enhancements, the new training center. But they're also benefiting because they've gotten some athletics-specific endowments worth about $230 million, which is one of the biggest in the country for a public school. And fortunately, who's ever come across with the cabbage, I mean, I didn't realize this, but about 8-10 years ago, Cal was talking about cutting baseball, rugby, both men's and women's gymnastics, and lacrosse, but there were specific fundraising efforts, so they all survived the cut. All right, looking ahead to the 5 o'clock hour, we'll hear the second part of Joe Moorhead, your new offensive coordinator, meeting with the press today for the first time. Some good insight talking about the quarterback situation and the pistol and how they would, you know, come to determine who calls the plays, you know, where the input is. And, you know, obviously a very highly thought of coach. And I think right from the get-go, Matt Preem, the first question he asked was, you know, when you left Mississippi State, you were a pretty substantial commodity, so Oregon made their move to go get him. He is the guy, apparently, that Cristobal not only wanted but targeted and successfully landed. And, you know, today was letter of intent signing day, and Coach Cristobal, when he met the media, was like, "Well, we're working on it, but we've got no new signees to announce." Yeah. And this Jones kid, who was originally an Alabama commit, has flipped, and now he's a Duck. 6'7", 335 pounds, defensive tackle, and he's a big fella, 4-star. And if you do the math, Jordan Scott's coming back, you would think, after a year. And then it'd be nice to have that kind of continuity for the big fellas in the middle of that defense. All right, break time is upon us. We'll be back with the 5 o'clock hour on a Wednesday, 95.3 The Score.
But, man, y'all got a coconut up.